peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 14, the Apostle Paul has really concluded the doctrinal instruction proper. And now this section in Romans, as we close the book, gets intensely personal. And in Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 14, the Apostle said to the Romans, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, all able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you, because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." He's wrestling with something there. He's wrestling because he says, "I know I've been bold. I've written to you very boldly on some points, and I've had to." It seems to me that Paul had gained, I said yesterday, a bit of a reputation of being hard in his preaching. Why do I say that? Well, we know that Paul, with the Corinthians, some of the people just didn't like him. He was too hard-hitting. He was dogmatic. And I'm sure he often heard, "Paul, we just need more love." Every minister who's faithful hears that today. In fact, Peter said, "Paul's written to you some things that are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction." Paul was hard-hitting. He desired to have this affectionate love for the people of Christ on one hand, and yet maintain all the threatening warnings and proclaim the consequences of rejecting Jesus, the consequences of sin, on the other hand. That's a hard balance. He said yesterday, the law is crushing, it's exposing, it's penetrating, it's hurting. And gospel preaching, well, it should be wooing. It should be comforting. It should be healing. And so Paul was probably recognized and known as being dogmatic, hard, and direct. And so he's saying here, "Look, I know I've been bold. I know I've had to be bold on some points, but you've got to understand why." And that's what we're going to get into today. Yesterday, I quoted something that Donald Gray Barnhouse went through in his ministry. And I want to quote it again because it gets at the heart of what the apostle's dealing with here in Romans chapter 15. And let me just say before I read this, this is a good understanding for you that you would know what every faithful minister goes through, that you would understand that as he is sent bringing somebody else's message and somebody else's words, he has this inward struggle that often goes on. Here's what Donald Gray Barnhouse described. I want you, this is what he said. "For all my life, I've faced the same psychological dilemma. When God established the genes and chromosomes of my makeup, there was not put into my mixture anything of effervescence. It is impossible for me to wear my heart on my sleeve. There's a little of John in me and a lot of Paul. There may be many Christians who've been accused of pride or arrogance or dogmatism who know deep down in their hearts that they are seeking every way possible to have the Lord Jesus Christ magnified in their being. They love with an intensity that hurts and which manifests itself in a hardness of attitude, though at the same time, like Paul, they may say, 'I love. I pray without ceasing for you. God is my witness.'" This is what the apostle's wrestling with. Paul comes after all this instruction and doctrine and says, "Look, I know I've been bold on some points. I've written to you boldly, reminding you because of the grace given to me by God that I might minister to you." Yeah, he's written boldly. Remember those painful first chapters of Romans? He just leveled people. "All your righteousness is filthy. None of you is good. You're hypocrites. You think you're going to escape the judgment, you who practice such things." These were God's inspired words. And that's the thing. The minister's always preaching what God has given him to preach, and he's got to preach the whole counsel of God. That's why Paul said, "I never shunned preaching to you the whole counsel." Some ministers will leave off the sin, leave off the judgment, leave off the hell language, and only give the upbeat stuff, and they've compromised a whole half of the Word of God. That was one lady who came up to a minister, and she was teaching a Bible study, and she said to the minister, "Well, we only talk about the good stuff, the love of God, the positive, the compassion." And the minister rightly said, "Well, that's only half the message. You have to give the whole message." And after a beautiful explanation, you see, the apostle gives here of sin, but then the beautiful explanation of free justification, he warned of antinomianism. What is antinomianism? Well, antinomianism is no law. Those who think they can go on sinning, that grace would abound. And Paul says judgment is coming for those who live that way. He warned about the consequences of not hearing the word of God, showed to us in Israel. And then that you need to love sacrificially and submit to all in authority over you. And those who don't submit to authority will face the judgment, Romans 13. This epistle is hard hitting, the book to the Romans. And God wanted this to be so. They're inspired words of the Spirit. People in the pew just don't understand this. They think often, and I suppose this is presented this way today, that the man standing up there or sitting on the stool or whatever is just there giving his personal ideas, his personal conjectures. And I suppose that's the danger of what's happened when there's no sense anymore that preaching is an authoritative proclamation that commands people's lives. I mean, that's why Jesus' teaching was different. Remember after the Sermon on the Mount? What did they say about his teaching? Well, he didn't teach as the scribes and the Pharisees. He taught as one having authority. There's difference. It's not just a bunch of good old boys having a good time up there. It's not casual talk. It's authoritative proclamation. This is lost today. And Paul will explain this. Paul's saying, that's not what ministry is. Ministry is addressing the very messy lives of sinners. And people don't want to hear that. But I recognize as a minister that God, often through me, the servant, is exposing the hearer's lives directly. It's direct. I know that he's unraveling secret sins through me. That's ministry. And I often say, some people will say, "Well, you're preaching at me." And I always say, "Yeah, I preach at everyone. Everyone's sitting there." But think about it. If sin is in the life of the church, if a school teacher sees Johnny acting up in class, is he going to not address Johnny's problems in class? No. If Johnny's acting up, he's going to say, "Stop it." Well, in a general way, but a direct way, the pastor addresses sin in the life of the church. He has to. That's what God has sent him to do. And so remember, God puts the servant there by his grace for the benefit of the people. It's a loving thing that God would want to correct us. We've got to see it for that. It's a loving thing that God would want to correct us. That's what Paul's saying. By the grace of God given to me, I do this. God put me here. Remember what Paul defined as a faithful minister? 1 Timothy 4, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished on the good words of faith." Instruct the brethren in what? Well, it's this. Just before that, the apostle said in 1 Timothy 4, 1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." So he says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, if you warn them, you'll be a good minister. What parent would not warn his child if the child runs out in the middle of the street? You know, it's sad. The first mark that people search for in a church today is what? The likability of the pastor. Is he down to earth? Does he share personal stories from his own personal experience? Is he just a fun-loving guy who can relate? Does he connect with the youth? Is he friendly? This is what I've labeled the cult of personality. We're so Hollywoodized in our culture today that we love personalities. We gravitate to personalities instead of the message. It's a sad phenomenon, but it's an American phenomenon. There are all sorts of things that people are looking for in a pastor. But sadly, none of these things that I've raised measure up at all to what people should be looking for. I would suggest these are the most effective pastors who don't soft pedal the word of God, being afraid of offense. There's a whole offense nature to our ministry if we're a faithful shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ, under shepherd. There's offense nature. The cross is offensive and it's going to offend sinners. And so immediately, we've got to be careful about wanting just everyone to come in with no offense to get them in. No, there's an offense nature. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3? If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. That's an amazing statement. He says he will be saved, yet so as through fire. There will be a lot of pastors who generally, over the course of their lives, were faithful, but their preaching never really connected to the hearts of their people, so that the people were crushed by the law and pressed for the great need for Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard a lot of very good general sermons. And while they've been faithful, there were no warnings in those sermons. There was nothing really penetrating. There was nothing really deep. It was really surface and shallow. Then I've walked out with no sense of my need for anything. Well, that's not really the kind of preaching that changes hearts. I should walk out of every single sermon I've heard feeling like I've been in the presence of God and changed in some way and different. The soft peddling of the word doesn't change hearts. Much of that kind of approach to ministry, sadly, will be burnt up. Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians 3, in the whole scheme of things, it didn't do anything. All that effort, all that labor to entertain the people, to do all those things, being afraid to offend will be burnt up. It's sad. It's sad. Remember Christ's sermons in John 6? Jesus preaches, all 5,000 leave. Some of the disciples leave. What does he say? What is Jesus' question? Does this offend you? There's a whole offense nature to the message. The reason it's offensive is because sinners have to be totally cast upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We are preaching sin so as to confront our lives, but then preaching the free grace of Christ so that sinners would come and find life. It's a hard balance, but a balance that must be there as we show sinners the only way, truth, and life in this beautiful gospel.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.